told me.
You always keep me up right there. Hey! Welcome to another episode, edition of Second Amendment Radio here
on
97.1 Talk.
97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're working on getting used to saying that.
Yeah.
97.1 FM Talk, Second Amendment Radio. Tony Colombo here. Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, there. Chad Ellis, our producer in studio as well. And we appreciate you being a part of another edition of Second Amendment Radio. Lots
Absolutely.
Of stuff happening in the news once again.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully some questions that you guys have submitted that we can get answered here in a little bit. But first, what is going on at this exciting time of year at Southern Armory? We're coming up on
Glocktober.
Glocktober,
right?
Right?
Say, it's like yes. Glocktober. Coming up.
It feels like we were just talking about Glocktober.
Well, you know, we've been on like a year and a half now.
I know, but it's amazing how time flies.
18 months.
Yeah,
I think we're setting records.
We were just talking about Glocktober the other day.
Yeah, so Glock.
And it's back, baby.
Yeah, Glocktober's going to be back right around the corner. If you weren't aware, we are a Blue Label dealer, and so we get those first responders, law enforcement, paramedics, EMTs, firefighters, military, retired, all in. Glocktober is a great time if you're a vet to come in too and take advantage of the discount program that runs through Veterans Day, which happens to be this guy's birthday right here.
Nice.
So I always like getting Veterans Day off and then go do a few things. So this
year, spoil yourself this year?
Yeah, I mean, we go up to Jefferson Barracks, visit some family, and kind of walk around there, and it's a humbling day to say the least. Mm-hmm. And then kind of go hang out back at the house. So, and I got my daughter, so you know, it's always exciting. So I don't know. We might go to the zoo or something. She likes the zoo, and I like taking her there. But yeah, Glocktober runs through the end of October. And then, of course, if you're a vet, you can take advantage of the Blue Label stuff all the way through Veterans Day. So that's a good thing. Start to see a little bit of movement on the NFA stuff. That's the National Firearms Act. And when I say movement on the NFA stuff, I mean suppressor, short barrel rifles, machine guns, starting to move as far as the behind-the-scenes stuff. So you come in, you buy it, you know, you do the fingerprints and everything. And we used to tell people, like, oh, man, it might be like a year to 16 months. And now it seems more like 8 to 10. So we're getting a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
The ATF said it was a backlog with the FBI with running fingerprints. And I recently got my paramedic license, and I had to get fingerprinted, you know, and sent mm-hmm. off to the FBI. And wouldn't you know, and about, I got fingerprinted at 4:30 on a Friday, and then on Monday morning at 8 a.m.-ish, which would be like 9 a.m. on the East Coast, my fingerprint background check came back and said I was fine.
Not much of a backlog there.
Yeah.
They were working over the weekend, I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I got fingerprinted at 4:30 on Friday, which is 5:30 East Coast, so I mean, they only had my fingerprints for like an hour.
Right.
And I had a paramedic license later that day. So I'm just curious.
Where the backlog is.
I don't know. So with that being said, and they were digital fingerprints, you know, so, we've seen no difference between the digital fingerprints and the actual physical fingerprint cards.
Now, is there a priority over, like, paramedics and
I don't,
Good
yeah,
question.
I don't know.
Great question.
To be honest with you, I don't know if it's a different division. You figure if it's the fingerprint background division of the FBI, they just do everybody in the order they come in.
Yeah,
but maybe there's just not as many people getting paramedic licenses, and EMTs now got to get fingerprinted too in the state of Missouri. So kind of an interesting deal. So if you're wanting a suppressor and you're kind of on the fence, now is probably a good time to jump on that. And we're not seeing a whole lot of movement legislative wise against suppressors. Strangely, it's just the high capacity magazines and the guns dressed in black furniture. And that's always curious because, you know, remember we had a bill right around the Las Vegas shooting that they were going to get through the Hearing Protection Act.
Man.
And
nothing happened after the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah. No, they killed the bill. And it was like the dude didn't even use
killed
a suppressor.
The story.
Well, yeah, that too. So and he was a Democrat, wasn't he?
I don't know. He was just a weirdo.
Yeah, he was a lefty, though.
That's where the bump stocks thing came from.
Yeah, the bump stock thing definitely came in from that, too. And we discussed on that bump stocks were really never really a popular item store. And we immediately sold out. And it was like, wow, this is really weird. So, and then they banned them, which is amazing. I still can't get over that. I actually was reading an article the other day. It talked about Trump had progressed gun control more than Obama had.
Yeah.
You know, with the bump stocks and everything else. I was like, yeah, it's actually pretty accurate. I hate to grit my teeth. but, you know, the man talked at the NRA convention and got the endorsement of the NRA, which is, like, really unheard of.
Yeah, Obama didn't really do much.
A lot of talk.
He just kind of stayed away from the issues as much as he could, except for when it was in you know, like,
in the cycle.
Was a shooting or something.
Yeah.
But this president has just volunteered support for red flag laws.
Yeah.
He's talked about high-capacity magazines. He's talked about background checks without even being, like, he's tweeted about them without even being pressed or asked about them.
Yeah.
Barack Obama never, and I disagree with President Trump on those things, but at least he's willing to address the conversation on his terms rather than waiting for it to come to him.
Right.
So I give him credit for
being
talking
outside
about it.
Side of the front,
but,
yeah.
You
but
have
I
to
don't
think,
like his,
Trump is always going to shake up the box. Like,
yeah, that's true.
From the beginning of, the beginning of his presidency, he's been talking about things that you'd be like, why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's a headliner. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like his thought is like, what's going to give me the biggest headline every time?
Well, you know, the man is the master of PR, and there's no such thing as bad PR unless your gun store gets broken into, you know, that's fine. So I didn't even think really that
unless
was bad.
You're the go-to man on a topic in a major market.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm just
Aaron
saying.
Tarlo.
Yeah. Southern Armory.
So,
and then, you know, of course, the post disgraces out there and gets a picture of me walking in with a rifle. I'm like, really? I mean, what did you think I was going to come up here with? I remember, here's a funny story. The first time the alarm went off at the store, right? And wife wakes me up and goes, hey, the alarm's going off at the store. I said, which alarm is it? You know, it was like a motion sensor inside. And I'm like, all right, we'll go up there and check it out. And so Brad, you know, who worked with us for a really long, long time, he meets us up there. He's sitting out front in his car, and we show up, and I get out, and I grab my shotgun out, and I go, come on, Hiko, let's go. We're going to work. Hiko's all turned on. This is my 95-pound German Shepherd, and Brad's like, whoa, like, what's this dog doing? So we unlock the door, and I go, hey, if you're in there, you better say something, because this dog bites. And Brad's like looking at me, and I'm like, we're not going in there. And so we let Hiko go. He runs around, story comes back, and he's like, you know, hey, Dad, it's good. Come in here. So then we go to the next door, which, you know, separates the front from the back. And back is just offices and my gunsmith room. And Brad's getting ready to walk through the door. I was like, stop. Hiko.
Do your thing.
Yeah, Hiko just trots back, you know, looks.
Yes.
And then comes back, and he's like, yeah, it's good. And we come back there, and we look. We're like, okay, well, stupid sensor, you know, flicking it. It turned out to be I didn't realize this, but the heat. So the way I guess these sensors work is they, like, detect heat and stuff, too.
Oh, heat sensors.
And, yeah, and so when the heat kicked on, this is, like, it's kind of cold out. The heat kicks on, and it was, like, you know, like a few feet from the sensor, and it saw something, I guess, getting warm, and it set it off, thought it was a motion deal. So we had to put a piece of cardboard over, like, the first 6 inches of the vent to kind of direct the air to go the opposite way.
Yeah, just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right in there, yeah. And then we never had the alarm again, ever.
Nice.
So it was pretty funny. So good stories at Southern Armory. And, you know, we love our customers. We've got great customers. We actually had a customer come in. We've had a lot of them come in here. And he was, I don't want to say being critical of, but he was talking about Missouri Firearms Coalition, which is, you know, Alex Salzman. We have her on very regularly. And he was like, hey, listen, you know, we got to compromise somewhere. And instead of being reactive, let's get out in front and lead the parade and all this other stuff. And you know, he had a good conversation and all that. And you know, and I'm kind of with him. You know, like I as you've heard me before, I give like solutions. Like, hey, this is how we can fix this. And there are some groups that are just no more compromise. Enough is enough. Here's the line in the sand. We're not going to go by it, etc. And there's a lot of groups that are critical of like the NRA and others that negotiate, you know, too much. And that's where these no compromise groups come in. And I'm more of the in between, the moderate that says there is a problem.
Right.
Here's practical solutions how we can fix it. Oh, and by the way, we already have laws on the books, so let's just enforce the law.
Right.
So,
right.
So if you're in the area.
The thing that you have to watch out for that the Democrats or the liberals on the side of taking your guns away and infringing on your Second Amendment rights is they act like they want to compromise, and they say, look,
yeah,
just give us this, And we'll leave it, you know, alone. And we'll live it. Let's do some common sense reforms, and then we can all walk away happy. But the second they get anything, they go back to work and just as hard, if not harder,
to get more.
To get more. Right. It's never enough until it's gone.
It's funny you say
that's
that.
Where the compromise issue comes in.
Did I ever tell you about how I got my first machine gun?
Uh-uh.
This is a good story. So my buddy Windsor, he's a paramedic, and I was just a brand new guy on the truck, and I really liked working with Windsor because, you know, I'm 18, he's like, you know, in his 40s, he's like the father figure type. That's just, Windsor's an awesome guy, you'd immediately like him, but he's a gun guy too. And so Windsor is getting divorced, okay? And so me kind of being the, you know, 21-year-old, 22-year-old smart aleck, I said, hey, you got any toys you're going to sell to get rid of, because I knew he had a bunch of guns. And he said, as a matter of fact, I do. And he gave me a list. It had like some old Smith revolvers, which I really wasn't into at the time. Now I am. You know, it is what it is. But he had this machine gun on there. And he goes, and the machine gun buddy price is this. And I'm like, ooh, really? And he goes, and I'll even pay the tax stamp. And I'm like, oh, man, I've got to do this. So we ended up getting a machine gun from Windsor. And he tells me the story about how he got him. He, in the 80s, the Democrats were pushing to ban machine guns, and the NRA was like, if we just give them the machine guns, they said they'd leave everything else alone, the semi-autos, etc., they'd leave alone. And so Windsor's reading the writing on the wall, and he goes and he buys, like, literally dozens and dozens and dozens of machine guns. Windsor's, like, taller than me. He's, like, 6'7", and he's like this. He's got his arms shoulder height and on top of boxes. And in the boxes from basically the ground up, right, and like double deep on each side are machine guns.
Wow.
Yeah, he bought a ton of them, and he registered them all, and then as he needed cash, he would sell them off because machine guns are investments. And I stress that to people that are going to get into NFA, and especially machine guns and stuff, those machine guns are investments. So I bought that first machine gun, my first machine gun ever, for $2,500.
Wow.
Included like 20 or 30 magazines and an unfired condition.
That's awesome.
And now they're 10 to 12. So it was a really good investment that, you know, over and over and over doubled. And I've only had it maybe 10 years.
Right.
Wow. Know, not very long.
That's cool.
So Windsor's a cool dude. And I thank him for my first machine gun. I'm never going to sell it. And it is what it is. But, you know, hey, if you're in the area, I love talking with our listeners. That is like my favorite thing. And my wife really loves it too. You guys come in and you guys share, you know, your opinions of the show or the stories that we've shared, or, hey, did you think about this?
Expand on the things that we talk about.
And I really enjoy it. I love when you guys send me messages on either Southern Armory's Facebook page or Second Amendment's Facebook page. I love when you guys get in on the lives and chat back and forth with me while my daughter's passed out in the car seat and back because we're waiting to go play at the park. And and then we go home and we take a nap. But I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I look forward to a lot more of that going forward in the future, no matter what comes down the pipe with our awesome listeners.
Yep.
So you can find us at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44, and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot more Second Amendment Radio coming your way. Coming up the next segment, one of the things we're going to do is check in with our buddy Mark McMurray. He is the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, a big fishing bait and tackle store in Alton, Illinois. They just had the Alton Catfish Classic, the inaugural Alton Catfish Classic. It was an amazing event that I got to be a part of. We're going to wrap that up a little bit, and we're going to talk about some fishing in the area, especially around that Alton area, the Mississippi, the Missouri rivers. So don't go anywhere. We're going to talk to Mark McMurray next on Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory in studio, also Chad Ellis, our producer. And as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us on the phone now, one of the great supporters of this radio station, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City in Alton, Illinois, and the sponsor, the organizer of the Alton Catfish Classic, which was a big tournament that happened in Alton last weekend. I got to be a part of that tournament. It was an amazing event. Mark, congratulations on the Alton Catfish Classic, and it's great to talk with you. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Tony. Pretty good. Yep. Yeah, I was pleased with it.
So there was a lot of people, hundreds of people that came by and watched the weigh-ins. 100 boats. Some of them had you could have as many as 3 fishermen on them. So hundreds of participants, hundreds of fishermen,
right?
Hundreds of people there at the amphitheater there in Alton by the river to watch the weigh-ins. It was a really, really cool event. What were your thoughts? This was your baby. You put it together. It's a first-time event. You really never know what to expect. What was your thoughts when it was all said and done?
After I kind of got over from being so exhausted, we put it to. I mean, it went off. I thought about as good as it could. I mean, you know, fishing was a little tough, but you know, we still, you know, had a team. You know, what was it? Almost 92 pounds, big fish for the tournament.
Yeah,
that was great. You know, we had teams from I think 16 different states.
Wow,
that came in to fish it. So you know, like you said, 100 boats. And yeah. I thought it was cool. The top 3 teams were all within about 5 pounds of each other.
Yeah.
So it was very competitive at the top. 96, a little over 96 pounds was the winning total.
Yeah. I mean, when we talked before the tournament on the weekend report and a couple times with you before the tournament, you said that there would be 100 there, you know, there was a strong potential of seeing a 100-pound catfish. And sure enough, there was a 92-pound catfish that won the big fish of the tournament.
Wow.
And, yeah, and what I love to see is how many kids were there. There were some kids that were part of the teams that were on the boats actually fishing, but there were also a lot of kids in attendance that got a chance to. There was a pool that some of the bigger fish went into, so people could see them and take pictures of them before they were put back in the river. And you know, it was kind of it was something really cool for the fishermen, but it was also something really cool for the community. And I assume that was part of the plan, right?
Yeah, that was part of the plan. You know, that's why when we did it, we picked that weekend to be part of the Alton Expo. Yeah. Knowing that we were going to have a bunch of people down there, you know, going to the rides and at the food, you know, and the beer can, not the kids, of course, but,
yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, that we knew we would have somewhat of a built-in audience if we could, you know, draw them over to that part of the grounds, and they came over. And there was a couple times there where, you know, it looked like that the area out in front, where people sit, you know, it was about a third full. And I know that when it's full, it holds about 1,500.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. It was, 500 people.
It was just people mulling through there nonstop there for what, about 3 hours.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an attractant. There were people being pulled over to see what was going on, and
like stink bait in the
water. I mean, when you see somebody pull out a 92-pound catfish or some of those other fish that were just, you know, massive, that's something that a lot of people don't see every day, and you know, there's that anticipation, because if anybody has ever seen a professional boat fishing weigh-in where the boats drive up to the stage and the fish come right out of their live well, you don't know. You don't know if they're going to pull out a freaking 90-pounder or what's in there. So
you're
always waiting kind of for the next boat.
Yeah, that's, you know, what I love about, and my wife, I mean, I love her, but she says no boats, right? But one of the things I love about boating and fishing is that it's family oriented and it's generational, right? You can have, you know, my daughter caught her first fish. She was just turning 2, and she caught a little perch,
nice.
and you know, she was like hooked. So then, you know, of course I had to run out and start looking at fishing poles for them. I was like, really? And I'm like, oh man, let's get them started young, because I was really young going out fishing with my grandfather and my grandmother, and we would do, you know, catfish, bass, crappie, you kind of name it, the bluegill, the pumpkin bellies, the perch stuff, we just throw them back, but the good eating fish we would keep. So that was a good memory. When I was 3, 4, 5 years old, we would go camping and we'd go fishing. I remember, and all my cousins were like that too. We all still fish. Trout fish, I remember my first time at Montauk, but catfish is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's great eating. And that was kind of like, I was like, man, do they like donate these fish to a food shelter? You know, like, you know, how does this, our food pantry, how does this work? But I didn't realize they like threw them back in. You know,
all the fish went back in the river, right, Mark?
Yeah, it's catch and release. They're there to weigh him in, get him back in. Yeah. So that maybe that 92-pounder next year when we do it'll weigh 97.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah, break that 100-pound. Yeah, and that's what we'd always do, too. My grandfather would be like, well, we got to throw him back so they can get bigger so you can catch him next time.
That's,
you know?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
Throw him back. I mean, I couldn't get him in quick enough.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it sounds awesome. And then the fact that people were just cycling through is even better. It really is, you know, a family
it really
affair.
Is. And, Mark, so you've been doing this a long time there in Alton. Your opinion, because it's always cool, like I mentioned, to see the kids involved, to see the next generation of fishermen, you know, involved in coming up. In this day and age of, you know, iPads and cell phones and, you know, and kids getting involved into electronics and things like that at such a young age, and there's so many more things to do. Like, for me, going fishing was... more than anything, just a cool activity that you didn't always get to do. But if somebody had a video game sitting in front of me, I might have picked the video game over going fishing. So have you seen that effect? Are there less kids fishing, or is fishing kind of making a comeback these days?
It's definitely kids have gone to, you know, to the video games. And it's, yeah, you know, they are trying to get more and more and more kids exposed to fishing, and if you do, they really like it.
Yeah,
the video game, they'll play a video game about fishing, but it's not quite the real thing.
Right.
Something about, you know, seeing that fish, fighting that fish.
Amen.
It's just out there with, you know, with your dad or your grandfather, you know, or, you know, who's ever taken you. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And we need more of that. We need to get the kids outside.
Amen. And that's what events like the Alton Catfish Classic do, but better than anything, is expose the kids and expose other people to fishing and how cool it can be. You know, I'm sure a kid at that event never thought for a second that there would be a fish that big in that river that's right there by their house, or, you know, that they drive across to every day, and now they know that those fish are in there and they can be caught, and hopefully that turns some folks onto that. We're talking to Mark McMurray. He is the owner of Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Mark, talk a little bit about the store and what you guys offer there at Bluff City.
Yeah, we're there. We're on Broadway down, and we're just a mile east of Fast Eddie's. Everybody knows where that's at.
Oh yeah,
kind of a landmark in Alton. Okay. And we carry all the gear for catching these big catfish, and we also carry tons of crappie stuff and stuff for bass fishing. You know, you name it, fishing wise, we carry it. That's just, we're kind of specialized in those areas. You know, big hooks, tough rods, big sinkers. You know, catch fish like that, you got to have, basically, it's light saltwater tackle in order to be able to handle fish like that.
Sure. That's kind of my next
stuff you're going to buy elsewhere, they just break it.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is I've been saltwater fishing down in Destin with my grandfather, and that was a quite of experience. And then you're saying like 90-something pound fish, and I'm like, I ain't catching that on my little bass or crappie rod, and definitely not my trout pole. That
my
thing,
Spider-Man pole.
Yeah, that'll bend right over. She's got a princess pole.
Oh, there you
go. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
The Barbie pole. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting deal. So yeah, I mean, it's all like heavy duty. I mean, what I'm thinking, like, well, you're not gonna use 10-pound test line. There's no way for 90-pound unless you just finesse that thing in the boat.
Yeah.
So what kind of, you know, line are we actually talking about?
Yeah, most everybody that's fishing for fish like that, they're using the newer technology, the braided line, which is very strong, very thin. It's usually 4 or 8 strands of some of it's Kevlar Spectra braided together. They're 65, 80, 100-pound. It's usually the test that they're going out there with. And then here the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of entries into the catfish market as far as specialty rods to, you know, to target these bigger fish.
Yeah.
And,
I was going to say, that's another great thing about Bluff City is you may catch Mark in there on the weekends or the evenings sometime, but Whitney is in there all the time, and the other people that work at Bluff City, if you do go in and you have those types of questions, if you're going to start catfishing seriously for the first time, like I'm a bass fisherman, so I don't know that much about catfishing. You guys at Bluff City have the knowledge to help your customers talk them through what they're going to need. What are you fishing for? And they tell you what their goal is, and you'll tell them what they need to accomplish that goal, right?
Yeah, we got the, because you got two different really catfishing, well, three, but you got your bank people that fish for big fish, mm-hmm. your boat people that fish for big fish, then you got your bank and boat people that fish for the smaller channel cats that are trying to put those in the freezer. Mm-hmm. So once we know what you need and how you're going to be fishing, then we can hook you up with the best thing that meets that requirement in your budget. Because there's, like I said, just like Tony would know in bass fishing and stuff, there's $40 rods and then there's $400 rods.
Right, yeah. Right.
True. And you just sort of find out what the people want, what's their budget. Everybody's got a budget, and what best fits their needs for what they're going to be doing, and put them in the best gear that they can possibly get for what they're wanting to spend.
Yeah. So sounds like Southern Armory's model on business there is
sell
them what they need and make sure their dollar stretches, which is absolutely awesome. I have to come up and check it out.
We always say right tool for the right job.
Right, and that's for me that's like a Glock 19. So what would be your go to rod, like entry level guy that maybe wants to get those channel fish, because that's more like what we do. We normally go and we got this one lake by the house. We go down there and we're trying to catch 7, 10, 12 pound and then put them in the freezer. And but a guy that wants to go after the some of those, and then maybe these bigger fish, 50, 60, 70 pound, what would be a good go-to budget rod for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mark, what's your favorite? What's your go-to when it comes to equipment like that?
Yeah, on the bigger stuff, the go-to stuff as far as the bigger, the boat rods and stuff, we carry a line of product called Big Cat Fever. They got a pretty good selection stuff in that $80, $90 range for the rod.
And
then hook
reasonable.
It up with, either a good pin or a Shimano Dakota. That's a kind of a saltwater reel. You got good reel selection to target that fish, really starting at around $100 up to about $150. The Shimano Dakotas are up around $200, but they're just top of the line.
So for kind of a guy like me who goes to Florida too, once a year, twice a year, this would be a good rod, crossover rod. I could go do some catfishing with it, and then go down and try
fish
my
in
hand and fish in the Gulf a little bit.
Yeah, those rods are built to catch 100 pound fish in a current.
Wow, okay.
So,
nice.
So there's a lot of you get out there where there is no current, you can even handle bigger fish.
Wow, that's great.
All right. Awesome.
Because the catfish industry really is catered towards fishing in heavy current, heavy weights, big fish.
So, Mark, last question before we run out of time. Is there going to be a second Alton Catfish Classic next year?
Yes. We've already got the date.
All right.
It's going to be September 12th next year.
Cool. That is great.
Again, well, combined with the expo.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I hope I get to be a part of it again. If not, I'll be one of those folks sitting there watching the weigh-ins as a fan, because that was a really cool event. My son will be a little bit older next year, and hopefully maybe he can come with me and see some of those great fish too, because it really is cool, something for the whole family out there.
It'd be pretty cool if
we'll
you got
back
the
up on the state.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, you got a boat.
I do.
And the one thing I noticed just from boating a little bit in the Mississippi is when you go up north near Alton, it is not like boating down where I am at, like Merrimack River and kind of south of the arch.
My little 19 foot Ranger.
Go some places.
Well, we could maybe get it out there. It would be the underdog in that tournament for sure.
Hey,
give it a shot.
The Blues were the underdog too.
Now
we're playing glory all the time,
great
so.
Point. Mark McMurray, Bluff City Outdoors. Mark, before we let you go, tell people one more time where they can find the store, how they can follow you online, social media, all that good stuff, so they can get out there and load up and gear up at Bluff City for their next fishing trip.
Yeah, so our address down there on Broadway is 2813 East Broadway there in Alton, 62002. And then our website is BluffCityOutdoors.com. And on Facebook, type in Bluff City Outdoors, and you'll find our page in Facebook. And then the Alton Catfish Classic is also on Facebook. Type that in or go to the website, thealtoncatfishclassic.com.
Great stuff, Mark. It's great to talk with you, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, you bet. All right, we got to take a break, but there's more. Second Amendment Radio coming up next. Got a couple of news stories I want to delve into and get Aaron's thoughts on. Maybe get to one of your questions that you guys submitted if we have time. So don't go
looks
anywhere.
Looks like $15,000 to the winning team on that.
Yeah, $15,000 to the winning team and paid out the top 10 places.
Yeah.
Like, significant pay.
Yeah,
to the top
that's
10
awesome.
Players,
I just gave him a like on Facebook. You should do that too.
Absolutely. You got a year now to plan for that next Alton Catfish Classic. If you are a fisherman, don't miss it. And don't go anywhere. More Second Amendment Radio coming next on 97.1 FM Talk.
For a long time. Run on for a long time.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Big thanks again to Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors for joining us in that last segment. Bluff City Outdoors there in Alton. They can take care of all of your fishing needs. I have a bunch of equipment, my bass fishing equipment there from Bluff City. They specialize in that big catfish stuff. We're talking about the Alton Catfish yep. Classic from last week. Crappie fishing, anything yep. you need, they got you covered
and,
there at Bluff City.
There's a great lubricant that just came to mind that...
where are we going, that, Chad? Where are we going here?
Where are we going? Oh, great lubricant for fire. Actually,
what's happening
now? Come on, this is made down.
What's happening?
It's a lubricant, right? Perverts.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, and it's made actually out in Fenton. It's called Q-Max.
Uh-huh.
Great locally owned company, great family, uh-huh. father, son. We carry them in store, and what I like about the product is that the oil, normally oil is on top of water, right? This is because specific gravity.
Uh-huh.
And the specific gravity of this stuff is heavier than water. So you can use it.
That's cool.
It was really popular in the industry, like farming and stuff. And then these farmers started using it on the firearms, and then they tested it and got a bunch of the manufacturers say, yeah, this is good stuff. So if you're going to go out and you're going to fish, this Q-Max that you can get in store would be something to lubricate your guns with. It gets in, penetrates into the metal, and provides a protective layer against moisture and water. Really popular with waterfowl hunters. So if you're going to go out duck hunting or goose hunting or fishing the rest of this year, it would be probably something pretty interesting to use. And it's got a nice aroma. Wife hates it. I love it. But you can come in and be a judge for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to, in this last segment, I want to for sure get to this one news story and then maybe get to some questions if we have time. So, Aaron, I want to get your thoughts on this. I don't know if you saw it. I can set the stage for you if
okay.
not. Chad, I'd love to weigh in on this, too. Story that made news this week was a situation down in Georgia with these three teenagers that were masked. Wearing masks, went on to a man's property uh-huh. at approximately 4 a.m.,
yeah.
had guns, fired a gun.
Sounds like three dead kids. Go ahead.
At that, and they are. And okay. fired the gun at the house or at the man. The
yeah.
details are a little fuzzy, but they definitely fired first.
Yeah.
The homeowner had a gun, an AR.
Yeah,
type gun,
type firearm. Yeah,
it's a type, semi-automatic type gun. Killed all three of them
yeah, okay.
on his property.
That just sounds like a good argument for 30-round magazines. Go ahead.
It sounds to me, open and shut, stand your ground, castle doctrine type
yeah,
stuff.
Kind of all the above, yeah.
Now, no charges have been filed, so
I wouldn't expect any
because probably that is the case. But of course. There are protests.
Absolutely.
There are protests that these kids didn't need to die. There are protests
but
that
they
are
shot
at.
First.
They right. shot first. 4 a.m, three teenagers with masks and guns.
What do you yeah. think they were going to do? It wasn't Halloween.
Right.
Now, the reason I bring this up
go ahead.
Is it seems so, it doesn't even seem like a story, but it is
yeah,
a story,
it is,
unfortunately.
Apparently.
And it is something that people are protesting. And it leads me to What a lot of the protesters were saying is something that we hear over and over in these types of stories, and I just want you to kind of explain why in life it doesn't work this way.
Right.
They're saying, okay, we understand that they came onto the property with a gun and shot, but just shoot them once.
What? Well,
why did you have to shoot them 7 or 8 times? Why did you have to continue to fire? Well, right. And you hear that a lot. You hear that, you know, well, you
could
know,
just shot
like,
him
the,
once,
like the police officer, like,
shot,
yeah,
when the, shot him in the leg.
When the guy was running in the mall a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
And it was like, well, why not
Absolutely.
Shoot him in the legs? Why do they have to, he didn't, the crime did not get to the level of where they should lose their life. And we hear
right.
that over and over again.
Yeah.
Talk about why shooting somebody once in the leg to neutralize the threat is not reality.
Right. So you shoot somebody in the leg, and they're kind of reminding, you know, the Mighty Python skit, right? Where he's like, hits him in the leg, the leg comes off, and then, you know, he's
his
hopping on
leg.
One leg,
right.
You know, and then he hits him in the other leg, and now he's just on his like, pelvis.
Yeah.
He's still scooting around, and then he's still got a sword, he's still waving the sword
well,
around.
I'm sure
still
a guy who has
him.
A gun that's already fired it at you once
is willing to kill you.
Is going to get shot in the leg and just stop.
Right. Yeah. No, that's not going to
happen.
But that's the Mighty Python skit right there. You know, then he lops off an arm,
right.
You know, and then the other arm goes, he's like, I still got teeth.
Right.
You know, and you know, and it's like, you know, come on now, let's be serious. So how do you, you know, you're never shooting to kill, right?
You're
even
shooting
though
to neutralize the threat.
You're shooting to stop the threat,
yeah.
Right? So if they would have got shot one time, laid down, and they were no longer a threat, then the homeowner would have moved on to engage the next target. And then, you know, he would have shot him once or twice. The reason you do multiple shots is, A, you know, you think you're missing. Look at Darren Wilson, Michael Brown case. Everybody's like, why did he have to fire so many times? It's like, and you look at his statement, I thought I was missing.
Yeah.
Right, and that
and most of the time you and actually most of the time you are missing
right, because you are focused, hyper focused on the target, right, and then you are not really paying attention to your sights, and you think you're shooting them like red dead middle in the chest, and you're whizzing them over shoulder, you're you know grazing them, you're never truly on, and that's the problem with a lot
if
of
Aaron Tarlow is shooting your gun. And you are a gun store owner
yeah.
that has shot your whole life. You are very competent, and you have very good aim.
Mm-hmm.
So you are way above the average person
okay.
when it comes to shooting. If it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you've just woke up. Somebody has shot a gun at you.
Yeah.
It's dark, and they're a moving target, and they're 20 yards away.
Yeah.
You shoot 10 times. How many times do you think you're going to hit him?
Oh, man. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but there's more than just, you know, Aaron goes to the range and shoots a gun. I belong to Arnold Rifle Pistol Club, you know,
right.
ArnoldGunClub.org, and I go down there.
Are you going to hit him all 10 times?
I don't know about all 10 times, but it's going to be close.
What's the average
you know,
person going to do?
I would probably imagine out of 10 shots, probably 3.
Yeah.
You know, 30%.
Exactly.
And,
so
or
it's
maybe,
not like you
maybe
shoot
less.
Once and go, did
yep,
I hit his leg?
They're
Are
done.
They done?
Right. And then
that's
if
not
you,
how it works.
If you hit him, where did you hit him? Was it a critical spot to hit them? So with all that being said, you know, Aaron is in the bay running around back and forth to get the heart rate up, to get the adrenaline, you know, kicking. And then you got to remember too, you know, my other deal is firing EMS, which gives you a ton of adrenaline. You got to stay focused too. So this, we call it stress training when we do it in our classes. The stress training for me is there. You know what I'm saying? I become kind of hyper focused. And if you go to matches, you can kind of see that too. You don't know what targets, where the targets are, how many times you have to engage them. But you know, I give Aaron a solid 5 out of 10.
Right.
You know, a couple more than the average person.
Yeah.
And
that's you.
Right.
That's somebody who is very proficient. What's that word?
Proficient.
Who's very proficient at this. Just
right.
like I'm very proficient at speaking, apparently.
Yeah. And the other factor too in
so
this
if you're,
is
if you're
you know,
just woke up and you don't do the, and you don't shoot very often and you're trying to defend yourself and the adrenaline's going.
Yeah.
And you shoot until the
target
and if
stops,
you're in my family,
oh dude, it's over.
I want you to shoot until it stops because I don't want you to die.
Yeah.
I don't want these kids to kill you. I want you to stop them.
Right. And
yeah,
and that's
feel like the first thing the homeowner was doing to is protecting
his
property
family.
And family. And
so, property.
That's the first time I would be like, yeah, that's just shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah, they're shoot at the house, which is, you know, in Missouri, I don't know what it is in Georgia, but Missouri, you can't shoot in any occupied buildings, you know, outbuildings and stuff. So they're already breaking the law. And then obviously people in there, in the house, the occupied structure are in danger. So you're not really, and the other thing too is you can't really be defending property, purely to defend property in Missouri. And this is a topic that comes up regularly in our CCW classes, but, you know, it sounds like, yeah, he was protecting property, but ultimately he was protecting the individuals, yeah, you know, in there. And that is a justifiable use to protect property, is when there's a immediate threat to your life. We call it IDHL, immediate danger to health or life. Mm-hmm. And the people inside the house, definitely they could have got grazed, glass could have broke, you know, splintered, you know, wood. I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, firearms the kids were using. But you know, it ain't good. Don't shoot occupied houses. Like, I'd have shot you too.
So right. How old were these?
I think they
kids?
Were all between like 15 and 16. I think they were all in that age range.
Teenagers. So, you know, like the age where, you know, they're impressionable. I'd imagine it was one of them that said, "Hey, let's go rob this house." You know, and the guy, I bet you the homeowner, either had kids and the kids were known to the deceased suspects. You
right.
know,
they so this was in so. Georgia. It's a little different everywhere. So yeah. People that are listening in Missouri right now, and if they're putting themselves in this situation, when are you allowed to fire that gun?
Oh, yeah. Same circumstances in Georgia. You know, you're shooting at the house, you can shoot right back.
Well, I'm saying, if it's three teenagers on your property at 4 a.m. with masks on and you can see their guns, but they haven't shot yet.
Yeah, so at that point, you know, I'd be calling 911 and telling them, hey, there's three masked individuals. You're not going to be able to tell if they're kids, adults, you know, young, old,
sure.
male,
they
female.
Have masks on.
Right, yeah, you're not going to be able to really tell anything. And, you know, the reason we shoot at, like, black silhouette targets is because at night, there's a lot, it's gray. You know, you're not seeing any color. So you can't even tell race at that point. You just see a shadowy silhouette target with, you know, the outline, the silhouette of a firearm, so you'd be calling 911. Right. If they go and they burglarize your outbuilding, your out garage, you let them, right? Because it's insured, you know, mm-hmm. and let them take whatever. But the moment they start heading towards the house, trying to break a window to get in, force a door, or shoot at the people inside, man, it's on, you know, because they're going to come in.
I don't understand where the adrenaline comes from. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot up this house. You don't get a respawn. You don't. Like,
yeah,
it's not Call of Duty.
Well
it's not Gears of War.
Well said. Yeah.
You don't get a respawn, and it's kind of like over. And then not only do you have to deal, like,
your family.
Your family has to deal with
your
friends.
Community.
Yeah. And now you got protests, and like, what are they protesting? They were wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, you know, I see this over and over and over again. Where, you know, we get a shooting, whether it's an armed citizen or law enforcement, and we're protesting it. And it's like, listen, man, you know, it was either me or them.
Right.
I'm choosing me every time, and I'm choosing my freaking wife and kid every time, too.
Amen.
So
good stuff. Good info. As always, don't forget, if you want to submit questions, you can do so on the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page or the Southern Armory Facebook page. Two great places to put questions. Aaron does a lot of live videos and answering of questions there, and we try to get some answered on the show as well. Don't forget, you can download our podcast on the radio.com app, and we will be back here next Saturday at 3:00. For Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, our producer Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on 97.1 FM Talk. Take it away, John.